So there are several themes that combine together in the famous dream of Yaakov Avinu in the sixth parsha. So on the one hand, clearly, Beis HaMikdash plays a central role. This dream takes place, some degree in Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, whatever exactly that means, different nuances in the Mefarshim as to how the Sulam and Beis El and Rishalayim and something, but there's something to do with Ein Zeh Kiyam Beis HaKim Zeh Shah Shemayim. So clearly, Makom HaMikdash is part of the dream. In addition, there is a meaning of this dream in terms of Lo Asid Lavo. The Rambam speaks about this in the Chassid Yotayr, where he speaks a little bit about Nevuah, so he gives some examples of some of the famous Nevuahs in Tanakh. So clearly, as the Medrash elaborates upon, Bnei Hashem Nitzav Alav Vayomar, Kodesh Baruch was standing and watching over him, and he's telling him not to worry. So he's telling him not just not to worry about Esau, but not to worry about Asud Lavo as well, even though there are going to be a lot of Esau's down the line. There will be a lot of Goliaths down the line, and Yaakov is going into Golias right now. Myself, Asim Labanim, Chaisel is going to go into Golias multiple times, and then at the end of the day, there's going to come a time, B'nei Hashem Yitzav HaPadosh Baruch Hu is going to settle the score, and Eshmatich B'chol Shetzelech, Vashibosicha La'aretz Azos, just as Yaakov Avinu is going to be returned back to Eretz Yisrael, so to Chaisel is going to be returned back to Eretz Yisrael as well. So there's definitely that theme of Aliyas Adlava, Yemas Mashiach, Ko'ula, that also is playing a role in terms of the dream of Yaakov Avinu. So I thought it would be an opportune time to talk a little bit about some of those inyanim, a little bit in the inyanim of Lo Asid Lavo, a little bit about the inyanim of the future, about Geula, about those yesodas of Aramuna. The Rambam in the Perashim Shnayim, the Sech Sanhedrin, when he tries to single out the Ikari Amuna, those points that are absolutely so basic and fundamental to Yadus that they're not negotiable, and if a person doesn't subscribe to these basic principles, so he's chutz l'machra, he's chutz leid, and it's not considered to be Yiddish, it's a different religion that he's forming, that he's subscribing to. So these are the Yisodei HaYisodis. Chassam Sofer had a cash against the Rambam. Chassam Sofer said there aren't 13 animamins, there are 613 animamins. Every mitzvah is an animam. He says that if you don't believe in one of the mitzvah tars, you're kafir b'tar. So the Rambam also held that way. But the Rambam felt that he can, the Rambam wasn't talking about mitzvahs, the Rambam was talking about machshavos, about amunas. But of course, the Rambam said, of course, Chassam Sofer is right. Vada, the Ikari Amuna, different ways of formulating them, but kuliyam lo pligi, that there are certain basic fundamentals of our belief. So the notion of Bias HaMashiach, of Geula Le'asud Lavo, the whole picture of what Geula is all about, so clearly is one of the Ikarim. There's no question whatsoever. Rambam lists this as the 12th of the Animamins. It became the most popular one, there's the most songs to it, but the Maaseh, this is one of the basic Yisodei Yisodos of Amunah. The Rambam, in the end of Uchus Malachim, so when the Rambam talks a little bit about Benon Emili, how do we know this whole idea of Geula and Asid Lavo and Bias HaMashiach and Beis HaMikdash Lasid Lavo Kibbutz Gal? V'shteit Azoy. So the Rambam says, so first of all, Shteit Azoy Nevi'im multiple times. So there are numerous Nevuas that speak about Yibos HaMashiach, the Nevuas in Yishayon, the Nevuas in Yechezkel, the Nevuas in other Nevi'im. But the Rambam is a befeirish, Dvar Pshutim Ad Moed, that there's going to be a Nochad Yehar Beis Hashem Rosh Harim V'Hayav Achres Hayomim L'Yisag V'Agoy Cherev. I mean, they're Nevuas Mufuroshes. So that in and of itself should be enough for us. The fact that as I stated a Navi, that's also enough for us. Because if a person doesn't believe a Navi, once a Navi is Mukhsuk to be a Navi Emes, so once we know that these individuals have passed the rigorous test, what those rigorous tests are, so the Rambam Chosi Sedi Yotar, the Rambam describes to you, how do you know someone's a Navi? Once someone is a Navi, so if a person doesn't believe in the words of the Navi, that's also kayfer. That's also against the Ikari Amuna. One of the Ikari Amuna of the Rambam is that you believe in the Navim and the VMS. So the fact that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, seemed that it was sufficient to express to us the parasha, the sugya of Achris Yom, the sugya of Bias Mashiach, and Bias Mitzvah Sulavo, even just in the words of Nevi'im, would have been Dayenu. That would have been enough for us. That would have been good enough to be part of my religion. So the Rambam writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Torah itself. So you have to look in between the lines in the Pesukim. So there are Nevuos, Mufurashos in the Torah itself. There are statements Mufurashos in the Torah itself that speak about Kibbutz Golios Le'asulavo. Those are Pesukim in Parshas Nitzavim. But even the imagery of a melech HaMashiach, which doesn't appear explicitly in Parshas Nitzavim, the notion that it's going to be a melech, a descendant from the Beis David, so that the Rambam makes reference to the Pesukim in Parshas Balak, that end of Loata, end of Lokarav, there are Koch B'Yakov, Kam Shev B'Yisrael, all those devuas that are expressed by Bilam. Bilam was a Navi Emes. He may have been a Menuchel or Moshkos, but he's still a Navi Emes. And what he said was Tvar Lekim, Tvar Hashem. It's a strange thing to say, but you have to believe in the Nevuos of Bilam also. If you don't believe in the Nevuos of Bilam, so then you're a Koifer in a Navi, and you're a Koifer of Torah, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to write the Nevuos of Bilam into the Torah itself. There's a Gemara beginning first in the end of the first Pekha of Basra. The end of the first Pekha of Basra. So there's a fascinating Gemara about the whole Seder at Tanakh, about who wrote with Svarim and what they ordered the Dvarim. Very beautiful, machshav and mashkof in history about where the whole picture of Tanakh comes into being. So the Gemara has a very, very strange comment. The Gemara says that Moshe Kosov Sifro, the Sefer Bilam. That Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah. And he wrote Parshas Bilam also. Parshas Bilam, that's the last thing Gemara uses. So, what does it mean Parshas Bilam? Parshas Bilam is in the Torah, but he wrote Parshas Bilam. So, as Machlokes Rishonim, so Rashi says, it means Parshas Balak, it means the Nevuos of Bilam. So, the Chiddush is that the original Nevuos weren't given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nevuos was given to Bilam, and then Hakadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu what to write over. This is what I told Bilam. So, Moshe is like on the sideshow. Moshe is standing on the side, hearing and recording this Nevuah that's been given to somebody else. So that's why the Gemara felt it was necessary to say Moshe Kosov Sifro V'Sifrei at the Parshas Bilam. So if I'm not mistaken, I think the Ritva in that Gemara says something even more startling. The Ritva writes that there was a book called Sefer Bilam. There were other things that Bilam had to say about the world. That Moshe Rabbeinu was in, wrote those also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't see fit that those Nevuahs should make it into the Torah. Not every Nevuah made it into the Torah. That's what the Gemara says. That even in the world of Nach, the world of Nevi'im, there were thousands and thousands of Kiflaim, Kiyetz in the tribe. There were thousands of Nevi'im throughout our history, and only 48 of them had their Nevuahs written down. So only the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to know the Torah were written down. Because there was a Navi in the middle of the days of Tzfanya who had a Nevuah. Okay, that was good. That was wonderful. But B'nai Nevi'im, a lot of people had Nevuah. So that's not necessary for us to be part of Tanakh. So Zichron has to be part of Chamish Chamshin Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu only put into the Torah what is Dachma Rice, where Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, the Chachma Salakim, the Chachma Salakim, predated the world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu decided why he wants to write these words of Bilam, not the other words of Bilam, the Kasha and the Rosham, why he wrote this into the Torah now. So whatever it is, the bottom line is, whatever state in the Chamish Chamshin Torah, even if the source is from Bilam, is Kadosh Kadoshim, and it has the full Taikif of Kol Dini HaTorah, and it's Emes L'Var Hashem. So the Rambam writes in Hilchus Balachim. So the parasha from Melech HaMashiach already appears. So the Rambam says, a person is kaifer in the notion of Achris Hayomim, kaifer in the notion of Bias HaGoyim, kaifer in the notion of Bina B'Samikdash, Kibbutz Golis, the whole picture of Chazal depicting. So that's not just a kafir of a Nevuah, it's a kafir of Teres Moshe itself. It's the highest level of kafir. So notwithstanding the fact that this is such a basic, so elementary part of our Amunah, nevertheless, something else also seems to come loud and clear from the sugya of Masa Mashiach and Binyas Mishlos Lavai, is that even though it is clear that these events are going to happen, the details of the events are far from clear, and the sequence of the events are far from clear, and the nuances, how things are going to play out, are far from clear. And the Rambam elaborates upon this in Uchaz Malachim that the Kodesh Baruch Hu Dafka left it very ambiguous. A lot of things about it, Geula, are ambiguous. The date of the Geula is ambiguous. The sequence of events surrounding the Geula are ambiguous. Even the very nature of what Geula is going to look like is ambiguous. Says the Rambam, that's okay. And that's not a steer to what we're saying. Baruch Hu, the Chachmoso, did not want to reveal to us all the details of the Geula. He didn't want to tell us what's going to come. We find this theme in Chazal many times, that there are a few Yechidei school here and there in history who had a glimpse as to when Mashiach is going to come, when the Achris Yom is really going to take place on the calendar. So Yaakov Avinu had a glimpse of that. and Bigish the Gals of the Kates. He wanted to tell his children that the Stas Budvar, and he didn't succeed in Pashas Vechi. He comes to his children, he says, I'm about to spill the beans about when the Gula is going to come. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu changes the script. So he ends up giving a bracha and gives a Birchas Yaakov instead of telling him when Mashiach is going to come. And this I'll comment on other individuals, Daniel, other people throughout the history who may have gotten a little bit of a mashu into when the Achas Yom is going to come, but the Maisa was never this Galilean coil, and we're not supposed to know about it. So the Rabbi writes, we're not supposed to know when it's supposed to be, we're not supposed to know how it's supposed to be, we're not supposed to be the sequence of events. You know what it is? The Rabbi says, we'll be surprised. We'll be excited when it comes. Then we'll realize, oh, by golly, that's what happened. The Rambam says you have a lot of psukim here and there, and the Rambam writes that the Nevi'im themselves didn't have a clear Nevu'ah about this. That the Rambam state befares that the Nevi'im themselves didn't have a Nevu'ah on this. The Chum didn't have a Messiah on this. And the Messiah that we have, the tradition that we have is that it's going to be a B'yas HaGoyel with a B'yas HaMikdash and the Kibbutz Golis, as the psukim say. And that's it. And don't ask him, okay, don't talk anymore about it. Oh, wait, we got a whole discussion. If you want to know when, if you want me to give you a date, so that's going to be very hard for me to say, unless I'm Daniel.
Sequence.
Well, if I say I'm a Novi, then I just became a Novi Sheker and I'm Chayev Chedek. So you want me to say Shia on Sunday. So that would make you amazed at Medea. Pashas are next to each other in Chumash. So, notwithstanding all this, the Rambam does say what we do have a right to do, and the Rambam actually takes the liberty to do this in the end of Sefer Melachim, in the very end, the last of Bracha Mishnah Torah, we do have a right to almost describe a little bit of what it's going to look like. We have the Rashi Prachim. That we can put together some kind of a picture as to what the Rashi Prachim are, even though we can't fill in, clearly cannot fill in all the details. But, notwithstanding the Rambam's depiction of the Rashi Prachim, there is a big machlokes, a fundamental split in the Rishonim as to what the Rashi Prachim even are. So again, everyone agrees to the unbelievable, grandiose image, the basic vision, unless you're a Koyfer B'Torah, Koyfer B'Mashiach, Koyfer Nevi'im, everyone agrees to the basic picture. Everyone agrees that we don't have all the details in place. Everyone agrees we're going to give it a shot to try to give the Rashi Prachim, and I have Machlokes Rishonim, so what must be the... It's like a sugya and chas. Everyone agrees to this, that, and the other things. There's one small nuance that they disagree on. So much of the disagreement actually almost begins, and I'm not sure it emanates from, but begins around the very, very famous Medrash. It's a famous Medrash that was made even more famous by Rashi and Tosfos in Daf Yomi a couple of days ago, commenting on the Pasuk at the end of Az-Yashir, Mikdash Hashem Kani Yadecha. The Pasuk describes about the Mikdash Hashem. That's how we started Pashli Yetzeh, Zakim Beisel Akim. Mikdash Hashem Kani Yadecha. So the Medrash says that what's been Kani Yadecha? Yadecha means a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to build the Mikdash L'Asa Lavai. That the third base of Mikdash is going to come down in a Shemayim. It's going to come down as a gift from heaven, a fiery cloud. It's going to come down. And the Mikdash is going to be B'Makaymai. It's not going to be built by human hands. The Mishkan was built by human hands. And Bais Rishon was built by human hands. And Bais Shein was built by human hands. The Bais Shlish is going to be built by a Kodesh Baruch. It's going to come down from heaven. That's what the Medrash says. The Apostle Mikdash Shem Kani Adecha. So what did Rashi and Tosfos invoke this Medrash in Daf Yomi a few days ago? Because the Gemara is a whole pilpul about is it possible that Beis HaMikdash, Las Lava, will be built on Yontif? Is it possible that it will be built at night? Yeah, but we have nothing better to do with the time and sit around and contemplate. No, because it's Chafs Enef Kamin Ladina. Because the Mishnah says in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, at the time of the Churban, made an unbelievable takon, a wild takon. You listen to this takon, you got a halt cup of this takon. It's din, you're not allowed to eat chodosh. It's a positive chodosh, you're not allowed to eat chodosh, not allowed to eat from the new grain. But that is not gay for chutzot, it's not a gay, it's not a topic right now. It's a fascinating topic, but not an umbilical right now. When does the Yisr of chodosh end? So the Mishnais tell us in the Sechas Benachas, they end when the carbon armor is brought. That's the positive says. V'lecha v'koli v'charmel lo sochad etzim ayam z'ad v'yechem is kovin alakechem. Until you bring the carbon, until you bring the carbon hammer. So once the carbon hammer is brought, then the Yisr Chodesh is hutter. On the second day Pesach, the second day Chol, first day Chol Moed, second day of Pesach, Tezai Nisan, once the carbon hammer is brought, so it's brought. When is the carbon hammer brought? We try to bring as early as we can. Let's try to mat the Chodesh, everything is in Zom Kiddur, and it's Gevaldik. What if Nebuchadnezzar lived at the time of the Zabi Semikdash? So when does the Issa Chodesh end? So that was a big machlokes HaTanaim. So the pasuk says, "V'lechem v'kali v'charmel lo yisoich luhu ad etzem ayoyim hazeh ad aviyachem eskabar lukichem chukas lamadur eskab v'chom ashrasichem." You have to know that pasuk well, because if you're the one who's zocher to get that aliyah in the Chassam Sofer Shul in Pressburg, so that aliyah is laid a lot of times during the year. It's probably that aliyah is, those psukim are read by almost, except for Shchodesh, it's laying more than any other time. Because it lays it when you're laying Parshas Emor. You're laying it on the second day Pesach. You're laying it on the first day of Sukkot. So that Aliyah is laying, you have four opportunities to get that Aliyah of Chodesh. So in the minig in the Chassam Sofer Shul was that they only gave that Aliyah to somebody who was Machpel and Yashan. Because if a person was not careful in Yashan Chutz Laretz, we're not saying you have to be, but the Chassam Sofer felt that it's not appropriate to lay in a Pesach for Lechem called the Charmel. And the guy's eating his Cheerios that are Lechem and Karmel. So only the guy who's eating his old cereal from last year, he's eicha to get the bracha, to get the aliv Lechem called the Charmel. So most shuls don't have that minig, but that was the minig in the Chassam Sofer. So that's not the minig of our Torah, but that was the minig of the
Cheerios on second day Pesach, that's another reason.
That's another reason. unless he holds that Cheerios are not the Chamesh is B'nei, and then it's not the Chodesh either. So that's very good. Okay, excellent. So the Gemara says the steer in terms. Etzem hayom hazeh means until the day comes. Ad haviyachem is kovel lakeichem means until you bring the carbon. So which one is it? Is it the yoy matir or is it the carbon that's matir? So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about two different times in history. When is the Beis HaMikdash? Ad HaViyachem is Korban Lakechem. But when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so something has to be, what, Chodesh remains forever? For the next 1,000 years is Chodesh? No, something has to be Matir Chodesh. So what's Matir Chodesh? And Etzem HaYoyim Etzem. Yoyim Atzmai is Matir. Now we have Mechodesh HaTorim. When is the Yoyim Atzmai? Yitzumo Shal Yoyim. Does the Yoyim Atzmai mean the morning? Or does the Yitzumo Shal Yoyim mean at night? Means the day ad v'loy b'chlal, ad etzem hayom hazeh ad v'loy b'chlal, or ad b'chlal till the very end of the day of the 16th. So that's about a couple of hours. The guy's sitting there, not with his Cheerios. Okay, he's sitting there with his new baked matzahs that are baked from the new grain, and he's sitting in platzer. Can I eat it for lunch or not? So machleik said to him, if you live as mana mikdash, as long as you know you got the verification that the korban omer was brought, so you can eat it for lunch. But if you live as mana korban, so then it depends what you think about that machleik is. So the Gemara has. Quotes in Mishnah. The Mishnah quotes in the end of Sefer Hashem, in the fourth parak, that at least the way one with the Machlokes Amora had to read this Mishnah, but one version of reading the Mishnah is as follows: that min haTorah liolam we really paskin that itzumo shayom is matir, that the morning itself is a matir, the yisur of Chodesh. But Biyechem and Zakab is very, very nervous when the base picture is destroyed. Why? Because up until now people always had the mindset you have to wait till the korban is brought. Now we're going to change things and tell everybody, okay, there's no korban, no bisa mikdash now. So now you can eat your kashrut pesach chadash first thing in the morning. You can eat it for breakfast. You don't have to wait for lunch. You can eat it mamish first thing in the morning. So okay, that's the din derech. It's a finish. Well, what's so terrible? Here you bana mikdash. Next year, mitzvah the basement is going to be rebuilt. So what are people going to say next year? Last year we remember we ate chadash for breakfast. No one's going to be El Adas that last year there was no Beis HaMikdash. So, Hey Mizrach Matir, so there's got light in the morning, it was Matir. This year, come to Beis HaMikdash, now we have to wait the 3-4 hours till they bring the Korban Omer. There's going to be a big Michshol. So, Gavalt Geshrigan, there's going to be a Michshol, the Yosef Lavai, and therefore, B'yach B'zachai, Hiskin, Sheik, Yom Hanef Kolo Asur, that mid the Rabbanan, we have to tell you to hold off until the night. Because as a gezeira, if we have people eating chodesh too early now it's okay, but after it's okay, but next year it's going to be terrible. That takon Rabbi Yechem and Zakeh is one of the most profound takonas that exist in Chas. It is the most mind-boggling takonas that exist in Chas. What is mind-boggling about it? Yeah, those are the technical details. It is so profound.
No one's going to know this.
It could be no one's going to know the sugya b'sech menachas. What is so profound about that takana? Yechman Zakei made this takana b'shas achorben. That's what the Gemara says. B'shechar b'semekdiruya. The Roman Empire is controlling the entire civilized world. The Jews just got demolished. The b'semekdish is up in flames. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. And the only thing on Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's mind is that next year, Ken Zayin, the Beis Mishkan can be rebuilt. When? The Gemara says it's going to be rebuilt in that small window of 10 minutes that no one's going to get the message in time, no one's going to get the drush out in time. So that's what we're worried about. That's all Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has on his head right now. We're trying to rebuild yeshivas. We're trying to keep Klal Yisrael alive. Half the Jews have been shipped off to Rome as slaves. The Beis Mikdash is in flames, and there's going to be a Michshol and Yashon and Chadosh next year. I don't want to sound like a downer, but there's been 1900 next years already, so it hasn't happened yet. You have nothing better to do. Do you understand what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was trying to do? He was trying to instill hope in Klal Yisrael. He was trying to give them something to look forward to. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew the situation was gefrelich, was miserable. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, "We just lost the Beis Hamikdash, but my dear fellow Jews, it's coming back. It may come back keheref ayin. It may come back mamash in a blink of an eye." And therefore, we're going to take that and make that real. And he put teeth to that dream. And he said, we're going to get the Beis Din together, the Lishkas HaKozos, that doesn't exist anymore. We're going to take the Beis Din in Yavne. We're going to sit together and make official formal takonis Beis Din and Din de Rabban L'Deir Yedairis, because we believe Yamun Shleima B'chol Yom Sheyavoy. That was the greatest statement of Amunah, the greatest statement of optimism possible. That's what Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had in mind. That's what he did. That was the purpose of this takona. So Rabbi Yisai, the Gemara fleshes out the details of the takona. You know, it's a nice drush, a nice drusha, but the takona has to make sense. It's got to meet the criteria of takonas, and we don't make takonas for things that will never happen. So it has to be real. So the Gemara asks the question, if the Amos, what was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai afraid of? It's a funny way of saying, when was he afraid the Beis Hamikdash was going to be rebuilt? 6 months before Pesach? No one's going to know by then. They'll get the word out. Rabbi Zakkai was afraid that maybe Ken Zayin, it's a funny way to say it, the worst case scenario, Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt right smack in the middle of the night of the 16th of Nisan. And they're not going to get the message out. It's going to be a whole Tzavah Balagan and shit. Or Rabbi Zakkai was afraid it'll be built maybe the 50th, maybe on Yom Tov, late in the afternoon. It'll be a whole Balagan, a whole Shulot. So on the spot, both Rashi and Tosfos, yes, that's what Rabbi Yochanan was afraid of. The Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt at night. He was afraid it's going to be rebuilt on Yom Tov. Everybody knows, the Gemara in Sechpet HaShavua says, "Uvyom HaKim Es HaMishkan," you can't build a Mishkan at night. And you can't build a Mishkan on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But in Beis Hamikdash is not Doich HaShabbos and Yom Tov. So what was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai afraid of? Barring the whole fancy schmancy drush and optimism that I spoke about, Tachas, the Gezer makes no sense. So Rashi does on the spot say, no. That din that you can't build a Beis Hamikdash on Yom Tov, that was only said when you, as a human being, try to build a mikdash. The binyan of love is going to come down in Shemayim. Kiddush Sibbe Medrash, Kiddush Mikdash Hashem, Kani Yadecha. It's going to come down fire from the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by the dinim of not building a Beis Hamikdash at night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not bound by the mitzvahs of Yom Tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds a Beis Hamikdash whenever he chooses to do so. That's Rashi tells him. This is a world halacha. It's not just a game. It's not just a nice, you know, drusha sitting around, you know, having a kumzitz. This is a real din. This is explaining the mechanics of a din derabbanan that are predicated on the assumption that the third Beis Hamikdash is going to come down in a Shemayim. That's what Rashi tells him to say. Lamaisi opened up the Rambam at the end of Sefer Melachim. You don't get that impression at all. The end of Sefer Shoftim, the last halachas in Mishnah Torah, Hilchos Melachim, the last two prachos the Rambam dedicates to Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Loss of Love, and Bias Mashiach, Melech, that's about Malchus. So the Rambam describes the halachic process of determining who's Mashiach and who's not. And there have been thousands and thousands of people over the last 2,000 years who have come forward and said they're Mashiach. We only know a handful of the Mashiach Hashiach. There were loads of them. Only a few of them became popular. So how do you know what halachic mechanism do you recognizing somebody as Melech HaMashiach is a halachic process. There are halachic implications of somebody being your Melech HaMashiach. So how do you know who's telling the truth, who's not? So the Rambam gives you a few klalim based on Sukkim or Chazal. How do you know? So the Rambam develops two categories. The Rambam develops someone who's Bechezka Shu Mashiach and someone who's Vaadim Mashiach. The Rambam says, first of all, you have to have the credentials. If you don't have the credentials, then you're not qualified for the job. You know, it's the Havdol. Not everyone who applies for a job gets the job. But if you don't have the Havdol of those. A guy is applying for a job, I don't know, give me a good job. What's a job?
Computer science.
Computer science, okay. So isn't there a does he have to have a BA in computer science? Okay. So a guy applies for the job, and he never graduated college. He doesn't have a BA. He never graduated high school. No BTLs, no MTLs, no NTLs. No, he's zero money. He never finished third grade. So they're not going to even take his application. So the Rebbe writes that in order to apply for the job, you don't send in your resume for this one, but if in order to even be Oilal Adas, that you're the Melech HaMashiach, you have to have the basic credentials. What are the credentials? You have to be a great tzaddik. You have to be a great Tamil Chochom. You have to chayt to be gezi Yishai, Aricha Baruch Hashem. You have to have a person who's royal the shreisel of Shechina. So the Rambam Menuchas said the Torah discusses that everyone's qualified to be a Navi. Every once in a while, Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, breaks the rules and gives the Navu to Umas Alam, gave Bilam Navu, even though he didn't have any of the credentials. Okay, that's Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu did that for his own reasons. But of the Navu, the Rambam says, if a guy who's not royal lekach to be a Navi claims he has Navu, he's a joker. So you have to first be royal lekach to be a Navi. So there are dinim. You have to be a Tapa Chochem, and you have to be a Tzaddik, and you have to be a Porush, and you have to be a Kodesh, and you have to be a Torah, and you have to be Shalop B'Yitzra, all kind of clothes that Ram develops in Uchas Sevi Atayra. What are the prerequisites? What are the job, the prerequisites to even apply for the job, so to speak? So the Rambam writes, okay, so I have a big Tzaddik, he's a big Tapa Chochem, he has all the characteristics of potential Melech HaMashiach. So what makes him Mashiach? So now the Rambam says, now he's got to do some actions, he's got to prove himself, he's got to gets the job, he's got to prove himself. So what are some of the things that he has to do? So the Rambam begins to describe some of the things that he does. Then the Rambam says he could reach a certain point where he's becheskes, he's Mashiach, where he suspects that he's Mashiach, but we're not sure, and we may be proven wrong. And the Rambam makes reference to the fact that there were great, great Heligat Tanoim who were proven wrong. Bekeeper made a mistake in this area. Bekeeper thought Bekeeper was Mashiach, and he was proven wrong. So Rebbe didn't think about some Tom, Dick, and Harry's Mashiach. He thought that Bar Kokhba had the makings, the trimmings of Mashiach, so he was willing to be Cheshesh, a Cheskes Mashiach, maybe. But in order to really, really pass the test, so you have to be Mekabit Dircha Yisrael. I'm Melech HaMashiach, but the Jews are stolen goals. So what'd you do? What exactly did you accomplish? Your goal is to, you have to be Mekabit Dircha Yisrael. I'm the Melech HaMashiach, but I didn't rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So what are you doing exactly? What is your job? So the Rambam writes, those are Dvarim Pshutim B'ad B'ayi, said you have to be Leichem Chavos Hashem, and you have to be Bainer B'in Beis HaMikdash, and you have to be Mekabes Dircha Yisrael, and if everything else, all the pieces of the puzzle fit into place, and you're a descendant from Beis David, and you're a Tzaddik, you're a Tabach Chacham, and you're a Nevu, so then we officially declare, beyond the shadow of a doubt, Higi Azman, Anovim, Anovim, Higi Uzman Gulaschem, stand on the Mizman Shemelech HaMashiach Bo, but you see from that song that we're not sure, we're trying to figure it out, so the Melech HaMashiach tells you. So he doesn't just say Ru be Arish Azarech. He opens up Rambam and says, I fit all the criteria. So the Rambam writes that Bone Beis HaMikdash. He builds the Beis HaMikdash. That's one of the tests that he's Melech HaMashiach. What is the Rambam describing? Who is supervising the building of the Beis HaMikdash? Mashiach, that's his, part of his job. Part of the job description. He goes for an interview. What's the job description? You have to be willing to do the following. You have to be Mekabes Dircha Yisrael, Lechem Mechamos Hashem. You have to be build the Beis HaMikdash. That's part of what you're supposed to do. If Rashi and Tosafot in the Medrash are right, the Beis HaMikdash is coming down in a Shemayim, how does that impact on Melchizedek? Should it do anything? What do you do? He's together with everybody else at Tehillim, and the Beis HaMikdash came down from a Shemayim. So how does that prove anything about him? Obviously, what it means is he's building the plans. He's the architect, he's the construction, he's the contractor. He's supervising the job. He is under his tutelage, under his responsibility. The Beis HaMikdash is coming into fruition. The same way Bayis Rishon came into fruition. Shlomo Melech built Bayis Rishon. Bayis Rabbeinu, with the help of Bezalel Aliyah, built the Mishkan. So the Melech HaMashiach is going to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's not the image of the Medrash of the Beis HaMikdash coming down in the Shemayim. So the Rambam says we don't have to follow this Medrash. Not every Medrash is accepted. Halacha. So the Rambam seems to take the approach that the Beis Hamikdash Lasa Lava is going to be built not all that different than the Beis Rishon, Beis Sheni, the Mishkan. And forget it, in the world of pre-Olamdus, the Medrash is very hard to understand. The Achronim have a lot of problems with this Medrash. Because, according to the Medrash, we're going to lose the opportunity to perform mitzvah we've been waiting for 2,000 years to perform. There's a mitzvah called the Osni Mikdash, one of the Tag mitzvahs in the Torah. The mitzvah of the Osni Mikdash was performed multiple times in history. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they fulfilled it. In the days of when they set up Mishkan Shiloh, that was a fulfillment of it. When they, Nova Givon, could be it was a bit of a mikdash, as the Rambam seems to say, there was also a fulfillment to some degree of the Osni Mikdash. Bais Rishon was the fulfillment, Bais Sheni was the fulfillment. So we are waiting. B'chol Yom She'yavo, we're going to fulfill the mitzvah again. According to the Rambam, who's going to fulfill the mitzvah? I'm sitting around and watching the Bais Mikdash come down in Hashemayim. What's from Osni Mikdash? You want to say, along the Shavuot, the mitzvah Osni Mikdash is out of Maisa Binyan. It's the existence of the Bais Mikdash. So if the Bais Mikdash is given to me as a gift, I'm also Yotze. It's like the Bais Alev is a shout about whether the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah is to write or to the existence of the Sefer Torah. So it's Machlek Yisra Rishayim, if somebody gives you a Sefer Torah as a gift, or you buy a Sefer Torah, you didn't really write it, are you Yotze? So some Rishayim should say Yotze, because as long as you have the Sefer Torah. So that's what the Rashi tells me, that the mitzvah building the Bais Mikdash is not the Osli Mikdash, the mitzvah is the existence of a Mikdash, so have, because Baruch Hu gives me as a gift. So the Gedol Echrem have a lot of problems with this Medrash. How could it be a Rishayim? So it's not a Mikdash. I think it's called for the Maral Diskin, if I'm not mistaken. Maral Diskin was known as the Brisker Rav, before the Brisker Rav was born. He was called the Brisker Rav, why? Because he was a rabbi in Brisk. So, before Reb Chaim, before the Briskers. So the Maral Diskin, I think, says that that's the, what we mean in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Anyantav Har'enu B'vinyanav Samcheni B'sikunai. What are the two parts? Har'enu B'vinyanav Samcheni B'sikunai. Tareinu means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show us the binyan. We're not going to do it ourselves. Like the Medrash says, Har'enu b'vinyanu, he should send down the binyan to us. V'samcheinu means he should give us the gevaldike simcha that we're going to put the pieces together. V'sikuna, we're not going to build the Beis, we're going to connect the dot with the Lego. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send out the Beis Mikdash in parts, and we're going to construct it together. So that's going to be the fulfillment of the mitzvah, v'samcheinu b'sikuna. That makes shalom to the Medrash and the Rambam. But the Pashta Tvarim is the two different approaches. There's Rashi ties the Medrash and there's the Rambam. So what's the fundamental machlokes? Like you say, you have to learn the sugya in Bias HaMashiach, learn Lomdus also. What's the Nekudas of machlokes between the Rishayim and Rashi and Taisus following the footsteps of the Medrash and the Rambam on the other hand, whether the imagery of the third base of Mikdash is going to be some miraculous event happening from heaven, was going to be put together by human architects and human construction teams under the tutelage and the supervision of the Baal HaMashiach. What's the Kodesh HaMachloikis? So this Machloikis is probably Lishitasam in the sense of, as a general question, what is the basic tzura of Yimas HaMashiach going to be? Remember we mentioned before that everyone agrees that we don't know the details. Everyone agrees we know the basic, the very, very, very basics. And now you have a nuanced Machloikis in the Rashi Prachim. So the nuance machlokes in the Rashi Brachim is a famous machlokes in the Rambam against the Raivin, against the Ramban, the Yad Ramah, whole group of Rishonim against the Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchos Melachim, picks up on a Maimer of Chazal that says, "Ein bein el mazeli mosu v'shiach v'shibud galias b'lashon machlis b'bad." Fundamentally, the Rambam writes that nature is not going to change in the Yimos HaMashiach. Olam kumin hagenai, the Ram says this multiple times, the regular rules of biology, chemistry, physics are going to be as intact as they were from Sheshit Vibrations. What's going to change? The political status of Klal Yisrael is going to change radically. Does that mean a Shibud Galus? The Jews will be completely and totally free in Eretz Yisrael. They'll not be mishuk to anybody. And all that follows suit from that, says the Rambam, will be that Klal Yisrael will be free, and there'll be a tremendous, hashras hashchina in the world that will create the whole revolution of knowledge in the world. The Molad Deas Hashem, nothing out of the ordinary in terms of, nothing's going to change. The periodic tables of elements is going to be the same, and equals MC squared is going to be the same, and all the rules of human biology are going to be the same. Nothing's going to change. But the world will have a tremendous, tremendous hashpah of new chachmah that will enter into the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu will reveal this new chachmah, Bolad Deyas Hashem, And all of a sudden, when the whole world realizes, the world will realize one piece of information, Deyas Hashem. The entire world will realize the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you accept the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there are 1,000 other corollaries that follow from that. Obviously, Avodah Zarah will cease to exist. Obviously, everyone will begin to observe the mitzvahs. Klai Zohar will observe their mitzvahs. The Mitzvah will observe their mitzvahs. Some of the Mitzvah may want to convert, so we can discuss that also, possibly, maybe. But for sure, there's not going to be any more Ritzichas, any more Gezelas, any more Eshesishah. Who would violate Dvar Hashem? Molas Deus Hashem? If you realize that Kosh Baruch Hu is here, who would ever do an Aveir? And remain the wars will stop. Because how are you talking? People are going to fight against each other? You're going to kill each other? That's what Kosh Baruch Hu wants. There should be wars in the world. Kosh Baruch Hu wants there to be Shalom, Shalom, Shalom. Kosh Baruch Hu only wants there to be Hashem. Oh, the Amish, Baruch Hu, Shalom, wants there to be Shalom in the world. So for Shteitzich, of all our Deus Hashem, so the Kailer will be, the Chitu Chavaisim, the Yitim, the Chatsim, the Yisrael, the Mazmeros, the Yisrael, the Goy, the Cherev, all that it says on the Isaiah wall in the front of the UN will actually happen. This is all a natural progression of that phenomenon called Malach Deus Hashem, says the Rambam, but there's nothing supernatural about any of that description. And therefore, the world will be such a better place. There'll be, we don't have to worry about food shortages, we don't have to worry about all problems. Everyone will be happy. People will have enough food. It's going to be wonderful. People are going to be happy and friendly and say good morning to each other. There'll be nothing to worry about. Kibbutz Deyas Hashem. That's Yimosu Mashiach, says the Rambam. So the Rambam asks Kasha himself. But the Pesukim Yishael don't seem to say that. The Pesukim and the Navi Yishael say that all of a sudden the lions and the lambs are going to be hanging out and taking walks around town together. Lions and lambs? Wait a second. Isn't part of the Teva that lions eat lambs? So the Rambam says, nah, the lions are still going to eat the lambs. That's not going to change. Nevuah says that the way. The Rambam says, come on, everyone knows that Nevuah is derech mashal. That Nevuah is not talking. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give a Nevuah to Yishayol. Bach partly about the lions and the lambs. The Nevuah was part of Layisa Goya Goy Cherev, Layibudu Amilchama, was derech mashal for the Umas HaElam, that the strong nations are not going to devour the weak nations anymore. You're not going to have nuclear wars anymore. You can have any wars anymore. Everyone's going to be Shalom over Shalom. What do we need? What do we need wars for? Kibbutz Deyas Hashem. So it's all Derech Moshel, says the Rambam. So the Raivin on that Rambam says, no, it's not. It's not Derech Moshel. It's, it means a Kipshut Kibashmo. Says the Raivin, there are going to be changes in the makeup of the world. The world will not be the same fundamental place. Some of the rules of my Sibarishis are going to change. Which ones? I have to find out. I'm not saying gravity is going to change. It's going to be, I don't know. I'm not saying which one's going to change. But the fact that there's going to be a supernatural things that lafi, our understanding of Teva Olam, are not real, b'zman hazeh, supernatural, that will become the new norm of nature. That's what the Raivin, other Rishonim claim against this Rambam. That's a pretty big machloikis. Again, everyone agrees it's going to be Masu Shiach, everyone agrees based on Mikdash, everyone agrees to all that. Everyone agrees you don't know when it's going to happen. Everyone agrees you have to wait for that. B'chakal b'chayim sh'yavah. Will the fundamental picture be a picture of supernatural or world of natural? That seems to be Machlekes Rambam and Rishonim. This is Mamash the Rambam Shitasai. The Rambam says, Binyan Beis Hamikdash is such a fundamental part of Yibos HaMashiach that's the test. It's part of the test of the Melech HaMashiach. So that test is not going to come down from Shemaim. Having a building fall down from heaven, last we checked, that's not natural. That usually doesn't happen to one. You know, Orator is trying to build a building. We're not expecting that. That's not the plan. You got to build it from the bottom up. So the Rambam says, if Yimos HaMashiach is fundamentally the natural course of events, so the Binyan Beis Hamikdash Shlishi will be a natural course of events, no different than Minshan Shiloh and Binyan Beis Rishon Hashem. Whereas Rashi and Taisus, who are following the footsteps of this Medrash, seem to be going down the route of the Raivid, that things are going to be really, really different. And the same way, we're going to watch lions and lambs being best friends, and no one's going to bat an eyelash because the Teva Olam is different. Having buildings fall down from heaven, no one's going to think that's strange. That's what happens in Yimos HaMashiach. That's normal. In a new world of supernatural, buildings are built in Shemayim, they come down. So that's a big, big machlekes to find out what the answer to that question is. So that machlekes, the Rambam and the other Rishayim, sets the stage for a whole different picture as to Yimos HaLavo, Yimos HaMashiach. We didn't have a chance to finish, so. Hopefully by next week, this won't be, by next time we give the follow-up to the Shiur, we'll already know the answer, so we don't have to figure out. It'll be nice to discuss. We like to discuss all the Shitas, but we'll have a halacha psuka, which way it comes out. Maybe they'll both be right. It'll be two different Yemelos HaMashiach, two different people. Those people who hold like the Shittas HaRambam, they can work on it. For those who hold like Rashi and Tosfos, they'll be right. It'll be the same Mishmikdash. We'll figure out how to do that. To make everybody Yotzei the Shittas. Machmir, maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll come down first, then it'll go back up to the briskets who want to build it themselves. Whatever it will be. But hopefully with the Shem, we'll try to have a follow-up to this. We only talked about the Torah story, but I feel bad for the guys. You know, guys have midterms, the guys are busy, so we want to end chill a little bit early today. The guys eat lunch and have a little extra time to study for the midterms. Okay? Good. With the Shem Sunday, we'll start back to the regular world of our Rabbah Chayyim, etc.